I'm Dr. Fiona Lovely, and this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast. I'm taking the taboos of menopause and perimenopause and bringing light to the dark. No bullshit, no shame. It's time for us to gain a new paradigm in female health, out with the old and in with the new, and I'm bringing fresh perspectives from someone in the arena. I've been practicing women's health for nearly 20 years, and I'm spilling the tea on what it means to live at midlife, knowing that the best is yet to come. I'm sharing my Gen X approach to living through this transition, sassy, a bit sweary, and always honest. Tactical tips and instantly usable information is my aim. I hope to make you laugh and that you learn something new that helps you embrace the change. Together, we bring power to the peri. Onward to the podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Midi Health. If you are a woman over 40 and dealing with hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, vaginal dryness, or weight gain, you don't have to accept that these are an inevitable part of aging. These are the symptoms of the hormonal changes that happen at perimenopause and menopause. The experts at Midi Health understand what you are experiencing and know how to help. Their science-backed protocols are safe, effective, and covered by insurance. They are menopause experts and provide holistic solutions, whether supplements, lifestyle coaching, hormonal and non-hormonal medications. You don't need to push through it alone. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. Dear gentle reader, sorry, Dr. Fiona Lovely, this is the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast, and hello, listeners. Sorry, I got swept away in my Bridgerton binge in my mind. Anybody else enjoying it? My husband calls it lady porn, which I think is hilarious. Anyways, okay, today I am reissuing an episode that I recorded a couple years back talking about inflammation and depression. And how this becomes a much bigger issue for women who are going through the menopause transition. And originally, what I had done was recorded a video on my Facebook page, gone live on my Facebook page, talking about this new research that was showing that there was a link to brain inflammation, which then the symptom of the brain inflammation was actually depression. And so, of course, when you hear that, you go, well, then the solution would be to get rid of the inflammation, right? And the answer is yes. And the body of evidence around this has expanded so much in the last couple of years that I thought it was time to sort of bring it back and have the discussion again so that we can more wholly support each other and our community here. So the original episode was called Depression and Inflammation. By the way, the video went as viral as any of my videos has ever gone. Okay, so please don't think millions, more like a few thousand. But anyways, there was enough interest in it that it made me realize that I had touched a button. And so that's when I decided to sort of share more of the information that was in the research and record the whole episode. So I'm going to share that episode with you again. I have edited some. Next up will be an episode where I talk about anemia and mental health. So the importance of iron on our mental health, because very, very common for women in the menopause transition to have untreated or even undiagnosed anemia. And for the most part, it's actually a fairly easy to treat problem when you know what's the causative factor. But this information isn't really forthcoming from our medical providers, and it does require time. And in our impatient world, we struggle to give ourselves the space to let this one heal. So again, it depends on what we're talking about, if it's low iron or low ferritin or low B12, etc., low hemoglobin. There's a few different options there. So anyways, that episode will be coming up next, will be my next release. re-releasing that episode talking about iron and mental health. And then in the final episode of these series of three, I'm going to give the update. So I've gone through the research. I will share what I have learned and what science is starting to show us about a woman's mental health, specifically depression, around the menopause transition. And actually, we know that women are twice as likely to be diagnosed with depression and anxiety at midlife, which I believe it's a misunderstanding. So absolutely true, but the way it's being treated is a misunderstanding of what's actually going on. So this is, as always, my attempt to give you the information so that you can go to your provider and you can advocate for yourself and get the best possible care. This is even more important in this era of not enough primary care physicians and general practitioners, etc. So I'm going to educate you. You can take this information to your doctor and get the treatment. The treatment is likely not an antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication. Although those are applicable for some scenarios, it is my understanding that the vast majority of women that struggle with mental health at midlife, it's not a deficiency of serotonin, etc. Okay, so here is the episode. Take notes for yourself. There's lots of great information here. It all still stands. Anything we've left in is still useful. And stay tuned for the next couple of episodes where I'm going to build on this story. As always, I'm grateful that you have tuned in to the show today, and I hope this information is super useful for you. That is always my goal. Please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Dr. Fiona Lovely, and you can find me on Facebook at Not Your Mother's Menopause Podcast on Facebook. Thank you again, gentle readers. Until next time, be well. It's important to me that the supplements I use are of the highest quality, and that's why for more than 3 years I've been drinking AG1. It is researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, and rigorous testing. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they obsess over product quality, the standards of manufacturing partners, and sustainable practices. It's easy and fast to use. Drinking AG1 mixed with water in one scoop a day covers my nutritional bases. Prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes for gut support, B vitamins and rhodiola for energy support, folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support, and vitamin C and zinc for my immune health. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D plus K2 and 5 free travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/Fiona Lovely. That's drinkag1.com/Fiona Lovely. When we're talking about depression, it's a very, very common occurrence. Something like 1 in 3 women that come into my office are actually taking antidepressants. And as you guys know, I say this often, this is definitely an issue for women and women's health, and that's what this podcast is about. But it is also a societal issue. This is something we are struggling with as a society. We're now seeing kids with depression. We're seeing men and women equally. So again, I'm going to tackle, for the most part, women's health here, but most of the things I'm talking about here are applicable to anyone that's experiencing depression. It turns out that inflammation and depression have what's called a bidirectional relationship. And what that means is one influences the other. So you get inflammation and one of the side effects can be depression, or you feel depressed and one of the side effects can be inflammation. And so there becomes this real cycle, if you will, where they just feed each other. And just telling you that, I'm going to say, does it feel right to you only treating neurotransmitters through a prescription medication? It certainly doesn't seem right to me. So let's go a little further into the science of that. So It turns out that one of the ways that the researchers figured this out was that people who have depression have a system flooded with cytokines, which is a part of the immune system. And it's a part of the immune system that essentially flips a switch in the brain that says, time to rest. And so you start to get that sort of lack of enthusiasm, restlessness, you have difficulty sleeping or can be interrupted sleeping patterns, or you're sleeping more during the day than you are at night. And really, that's the result of the cytokines saying, hey, time to rest up because I'm sensing inflammation in the system. Now, this is not true for everybody suffering from depression, but I believe after reading the research that this is at least 50% of people who are coming into my office, women complaining about various perimenopausal symptoms, of which depression is one of them. And I think that this information can benefit you, even if it's primarily a neurotransmitter problem, this can actually still help too. So back to the cytokines. So the cytokines flip a switch. And of course, what turns on cytokines is inflammation. And when the body senses inflammation, it has a stress response because it's not sure if it has to close a wound or call other parts of the immune system into action to keep infections at bay, etc. And that's part of the reason that happens. Now, people who are depressed, just like people who are inflamed, have systems loaded with cytokines. Really, really interesting. And it turns out that when the depression goes into remission, the cytokines halt at the same time. So the question is, how do you control the cytokines turning on and off that switch in your brain that says, hey, I'm depressed, but I'm also inflamed, so I need some help here. And the key to that, of course, is it often is lifestyle modifications, specifically diet. But what's interesting is that the equation can be stress plus inflammation equals depression. But it can just as likely be depression plus stress equals inflammation. So again, there's that whole constant loop where you need to break into the cycle in order to make it happen. And again, the sickness switch that results from negative health behaviors, which result in inflammation, which then cause the cytokine release, which then can turn on the depressive-like symptoms, so what we're calling depression, is something that you are absolutely in control of. It's not a lack of your SSRI drugs, your antidepressant drugs. It's a matter of something that you can control once you become aware of it. So how do you interrupt the pattern? You have to break into the cycle at some point. And there are other factors that are influencing this cluster of symptomatology. So you have stress is a big one. You guys listen to the cast, you know I talk about stress a ton. This one's not going to be any different. And as you know, it's stuff I'm dealing with myself. Some days I do better than others. By the way, after I'm done recording this cast now, I'm off to the gym. Just again, I'm going to do the things that I tell you is the right thing to do. I have to remind myself every day to be congruent as well. So please understand, I'm not standing on a soapbox telling you need to do this because I do. And I'm saying, hey, I struggle too, sister. And some days I'm better at it than others. Let's see how the rest of the day works out. Anyways, so stress is one of those factors. Obesity, hormonal influx or hormonal imbalances, childhood adversity, home environment, relationships, diet, activity levels, all those things contribute here. But if that overwhelms you, then just think about, how do I stop the inflammation? How can I start doing things? So again, knowing this all, does it make sense at all to treat only the brain chemicals with a pill? Of course it doesn't. When you properly put, in order to properly put depression into remission, you must tackle it from a few angles. And the number one is, again, here's where we get tactical. I'm going to give you the goods here so you can start to do it right now. First of all, awareness. Okay. So just becoming aware of how potentially things that we call in research negative health behaviors can influence how you feel every day, mentally, emotionally, and physically, is the number one first step. Number two is get the inflammation down. So here's how you do that. There's three things primarily that cause, from a food point of view, that cause inflammation. And these are the biggest factors other than stress. Grains, dairy, and sugar. Yes, all of the delicious things. So here's what happens. Grains and dairy cause an immune reaction to everybody. Now, most of us, depending on how we're doing in terms of other health areas, can handle the intestinal permeability or leaky gut that comes from having these substances in our diet. But there can be something that tips the scale. Is it stress? Is it midlife? Is it breakup of a relationship? Is it a health crisis? Is it perimenopause? Like, that's why we're here, right? So quite likely it's some part of perimenopause that causes you to no longer be able to repair the intestinal impermeability that you get from these foods, which are causing the allergic reaction, which causes the inflammatory reaction, which causes the cytokines to turn on and can result in depression. So eliminating grains, eliminating dairy, and limiting your sugar. So here's how you do this. Everybody does this a little bit differently. If you can just take those foods out of your diet and be happy, I say power to you, sister. It's hard to do, but if it makes you feel like you can function and you're happy with that, you'll be so much healthier than the rest of us that are dabbling. What you can do is an elimination type diet where you eliminate all grains for a month and then you start to add them back one at a time. So let's say you'll do rice once a day for a few days. See how you feel. If you feel pretty good, you don't have any sense that you're feeling poorly, then you probably are fine with rice. You can do the same with corn, with barley. Wheat seems to be the universal allergen. So you can certainly try it. But that's how you would go about eliminating some of these foods, is you'll figure out which ones are causing you the most trouble. And that can change at any time. So just when you think you got it figured out, you may have to go back to the drawing board, but at least it's a start. Repairing intestinal permeability also requires you to be eating gut healthy foods and taking your daily probiotic. I know I've recorded whole casts about that, so please go back and find those to get more information. Also, get your stress reduced now. However that is your choice, that's the way to do it for you. It's different for all of us. Maybe it's a particular workout. Maybe it's working on your relationships or your self-esteem or your job or your vision for your life. It's different for everybody. Some of the research showed if you are taking an antidepressant, adding omega-3 fats and eating oily fish several times a day, plus a turmeric supplement, actually reduces the inflammatory cascade and can make your antidepressant more effective. Now, for those of you that are feeling depression or inflammation, and perhaps aren't taking an antidepressant, you can do those things anyways, because they will reduce the inflammatory response and they'll be helpful. So the next thing I'm going to recommend is that you get a mental health professional to help guide you through the depression. Now, this can be a different person for everyone. It depends on what you're comfortable with. Perhaps it's a psychiatrist, psychologist, neuropsychiatrist, a neuropsychologist, a social worker, a yoga instructor, a meditation, craniosacral therapy, energy work. Whatever it is for you, just make sure you're using that as you're going through this. And remember, you're not alone. And if you feel like you are alone, there are people out there that can help you. Call a friend or a coworker or a family member and ask for help. And if you don't have any of those, there are national hotlines that you can Google where someone will be there to talk to you about whatever you're experiencing and get you some help. And know that it will get better. And know that you can keep yourself well. Know that there's lots of things that you can do to control how you feel. And really begin to notice how what you eat makes you feel. That's so powerful. So powerful. Having been through this experience myself, not for depression, but for inflammation, I had joint pain. As you know, you listen to the podcast, so you know the story of how I've gone gluten-free. But I didn't have any of the gut symptoms. I just had pain in all my joints. I couldn't figure it out. So for me, grains, wheat specifically, cause me to have inflammation in my joints, which gives me pain. When you start to become aware of how you feel after you eat, it's a powerful motivator to stay away from the things that make you feel like crap. So the other thing you want to make sure you're doing is begin to chart your hormones and how you feel. There's tons of apps that are free, available for your phone, where you can start to chart your periods, your moods, all of that stuff if you're not already doing it. Also, exercise helps both reducing inflammation and boosting neurotransmitters to help ease depression. And it boosts confidence too. So, you know, here's the thing about exercise. When I'm fully perimenopausal and I'm having that moment, F you when it comes to exercise. Seriously, it's the last thing. I would rather be at home in my bathrobe with a martini, right? It's like that, right? And don't anybody come near me. What is it about menopausal rage? Holy cow. Anyways, I can only hope it gets better soon. Is anybody else understanding or can relate to what I'm feeling? Anyways, the thing is to find something that makes you happy. So for me, I like swimming. I like it a lot. So when I'm knowing that I need to exercise, but I don't really feel like doing anything, any heavy lifting, I know swimming means I'm actually doing good things for my body, but I enjoy it. So it's easy. For some people, it's dancing. I also like taking Zumba class. That's always fun for me too. It doesn't feel like exercise. Walking the dog doesn't feel like exercise, but you know, it's still fun to do. So you'll get that balance. There'll be times you feel like doing CrossFit, if that's what your choice is, or running on the treadmill or doing a cardio class. And there'll be times you won't. And it's okay. As long as you have a balance, as long as you have movement, and it's super important for brain health. Okay. Find your tribe and connect. Best research is showing us that that's the way to age gracefully, is just to make sure you have connection to other human beings and you do it often. So whether it's your bridge club or your Zumba class people or your besties that you've known forever or the new ones from down the street, whatever it is, just do it and do it often. And of course, you can always connect with us on Facebook, on the Facebook group. I love that group. It's so much fun. There's also a private group that I open when I have the Menopause Help Guide available for enrollment a couple times a year. And that group is just really good fun. And those things can make a difference. And finally, eat nutrient-dense real food. Eliminate packaging and processed anti-nutrient foods. So basically, when we have to package food, it means we usually have to tweak it somehow to make it shelf stable. And when you do that, you have to take its vital nutrients out. So they're really, it can actually take more nutrient in order to process those food than it is that you take in, if that makes sense. So farm to table food is how you want to eat. Get your produce delivered. That's what we get here in Western Canada. There's a great organic food delivery system. There's lots of those around the United States as well. Then you're getting them from your local farmer, reduces your carbon footprint. And there's some neat research that shows actually our bodies develop nutrient need dependent on the soil that we grow up around. Isn't that fascinating? So like if you live in the goiter belt, chances are you have a higher need for iodine than someone who did not grow up in the goiter belt, right? So interesting. So our bodies are constantly responding to that kind of thing. Get yourself your grass-fed, grass-finished beef producers, your farmer that produces the eggs that are free, really truly free-run eggs, not the fake free-run ones that happen in the grocery store. So, you know, become aware of where your food is coming from, because if you're eating nutrient-dense food, man, you just can't go wrong. Anyways, as always, I hope I brought you something inspiring today. I hope I brought you something really useful today. And I always love to hear what you guys want me to talk about. And if I can help you, please don't hesitate to contact me. Best ways to do that is to go to my website, drlovely.com, and you can fill out a form there, which gets emailed to my staff. Or go to the Facebook page, which is at Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast page on Facebook. You can direct message me there or send me a comment there. And I'm always listening. So thank you again for being here with me today. And we'll talk soon. Make it a great day. The information and other content provided in this show, or in any linked materials, is not intended and should not be construed as medical advice, nor is the information a substitute for professional medical expertise or treatment. We are doctors, but we aren't your doctor. Seek your doctor's opinion. If you or any other person has a medical concern, you should consult with your healthcare provider or seek other professional medical treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something that you have heard in this podcast or in any linked materials. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or emergency services immediately. The opinions and views expressed on this page and in this show have no relation to those of any academic, hospital, health practice, or other institution. Thank you.